podcast number 4 on the book of James. Last week, we were focusing on the trials and temptations of the Christian life and how we might consider it pure joy when we face such things. Now, the simple answer James gives us is that God is transforming us through trials, maturing us. So as we understand what God is doing in our lives, we can consider it pure joy. However, they are trials. They are not easy. We don't always cope well. And that's why James writes in chapter 1, verse 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." Wisdom is understanding painful times and seeing God's purpose behind it. And this wisdom is given freely and generously. It's very easy to lose that joy, to lose sight of what God is doing. You know that God has good planned, but for the life of you, you can't see where it's going to come from. Well, James tells us very plainly, ask God. It's that simple. God's nature is to give. If you're a parent and you're out watching your child's sports game, you watch the whole game, but you always have your eye on your own child to see how they're going. Well, friends, God's eye never leaves you. He's always watching over you. He has not abandoned you. He knows what you are thinking and feeling and going through, and you can always talk to him. He will give you the wisdom you need to be on your way. And God gives without reservation. The question is, do we ask without reservation? And that's the issue James now wants to address. Verse 6. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. What's the doubt that James speaks of here? Clearly it's not doubting God's ability. We're asking him. God can give. The word doubt in the Greek has the idea of making your mind up between two alternatives. And that's why James talks about the double-minded man, the one who's not committed either way. In other words, James is essentially saying, will I trust the wisdom that God gives, or will I trust in something else? Am I committed to seeing things God's way and taking on trials for what they are, or am I just going to keep a door open for the world and its answers? I'm sure this is why James then moves straight to talking about the rich and the poor in verses 9 to 11. Because to be rich is a significant security blanket against the tidal waves of life. I won't read 9 to 11, but James is essentially saying, don't rely on our material wealth for our joy and security. The deepest answers for life's deepest questions is not money. Wealth doesn't help in our deepest hurts and life's complexities. In fact, the wise person who is wealthy recognizes that their wealth is passing. It will fade like a wilting flower. And the Christian knows their wealth is a responsibility, that they're called to be good stewards of it. So in summary, if we're going to ponder the painful things of life, we're going to need wisdom. Wisdom is understanding pain, seeing God's purpose behind it. This wisdom is freely given, but we must be prepared to receive it. Will I trust in the wisdom that God gives or in something else? And friends, ultimate wisdom, of course, is that wisdom that we see God display on the cross. In what looked like weakness and defeat and death, God did a mighty thing. And so in my life, in its brokenness and weakness and confusion, God is at work to bring about his plans for the universe.